This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are here Monday. It is Sharp Money. I am not Patrick Maher. Thank you for noticing. No, I am Jared Smith, in for Patrick for the next 3 days. Where is Patrick this week?
He's on vacation. He's on vacation for the whole month. Some of us
Welcome back, bud.
Yeah, some of us only got 3 weeks. Patrick gets the whole month. He will be
back. Is that part of his contract? You only got 3 weeks. He needed to make sure that you always get one less week than him.
No. I just only had 3 weeks. I used my 3 weeks. I am now back. I learned a lot about the universe while I was on the outside.
What did you learn?
I learned
there's life outside of sports betting.
Here's what I learned. When you do not wear a belt for 3 weeks and you are getting dressed to come in for your first shift of Sharp Money post-vacation, you don't know where you put your belt, because I am not wearing a belt. I don't know where I put – I have two belts, a brown one and a black one. So all you need in life.
Most men only have two.
And I could not – I searched my entire apartment. I do not know where either one are. So I'm beltless today on a Monday.
I'm beltless too. Fun fact, I haven't actually worn a belt with these jeans in a long time. And that's because I've had to buy new clothes over the last few months.
And you're buying that.
I bought the size smaller. I went size smaller this time around because I said, God forbid, I've had a life change over the last year. I've lost some weight. And I was like, I don't want to buy more new clothes because I already had to throw out thousands. It was sad, actually. It was kind of sad because I was thinking to myself, I just wasted thousands of dollars on clothes in the last, I don't know, couple of years of my life. That I probably now thrown out, but it's a good pop problem to have. So I'm not wearing a belt. We're the beltless crew today. I'm not wearing a belt either.
And those jeans, some free advertisement for the ladies. While you're diabolical too, by the way. If we're gonna talk about fits, homeboy over here is dressed like Arthur Fonzarelli, season one of Happy Days,
with the members only jacket. No, it's a bomber jacket.
400 degrees outside.
Well, I didn't wear it outside. It's Banana Republic. Okay, so here's my dilemma with this set. I love this set. I love this vibe here at the D, downtown Las Vegas, represent. But I've had this discussion with John Goulet before, and he agrees with me. It feels like this set is like a hair less formal than our circus set.
Sure.
Which is a little bit more glass encased studio with the fit. So when I'm at the circus studio, I feel a little more jacket, right? A little more traditional sport coat.
Absolutely, blazer.
When I'm here, I'm kind of in between. I don't have a lot of button-downs that I like on air anymore because, again, I've gone through a massive shift in the way my body looks.
Yeah, look, I'm not at your point, and I'm wearing a shirt that was one of my fat shirts, and it's way too big.
Yeah, you need to – we both need to go clothes shopping together because both – so
share a fitting room. What's up, buddy?
I mean, listen, that's behind closed doors. We can talk about that off air. But I'm kind of in between. I don't like wearing the button-downs. I don't think they look as good on me on this set, on this shirt. So I like wearing – I like these shirts. I'm big Henley the guy these days, which is kind of like the formal undershirt, right? It's got the buttons. It's a little more formal than just a straight undershirt. And I wear these always under my sport jacket, but I felt like this set sometimes is too formal for the sport jacket, so I cut it in between, and I go with the more casual bomber jacket.
I think you're just showing off that because you lost all this.
I mean, you're the one that brought it up.
Well, no, you're showing off because you lost all the weight. You no longer run hot, because, like, I run hot in January and February.
I'm sweating on this set still right now.
So why are you wearing such a thick jacket?
It's not that thick. It looks really good on air.
Oh, don't say that out loud.
It looks so good on air. Listen. Part of the work I've done over the last year is also mental work, shadow work. I know who I am. I'm vain. I'm on TV. I'm vain. I understand that. I accept my vanity. When you work on television, you have to accept your vanity, because if you don't, you're never going to climb to the elite status that you always can, that you're destined for.
Yeah, you're speaking to someone who hears your words but has looked at himself in the monitor the entire time you were speaking. So I might know a thing or two about vanity.
And speaking of vanity, I'm going to give him some credit here. He's booked a fantastic show. Landry Locker, host of The Locker Room, going to cover the Texans. They're going to come on at the top of our next hour, bottom of our next hour. Brooks Austin, SI.com director of recruiting, also does a great job covering college football for the Dogs Daily, lead editor. We'll have him on as well. Mark Carman, a little Chicago vibes of WGN and NBC Sports in the Windy City, will come on at the top of our 5 o'clock Eastern hour. And then our final guest of the day, John Bowman, former baseball scout. Excited to talk a little Nerfy with John Bowman. I have some very specific scouting mechanical questions that relate to the first inning. Of course, the only nickname that I've ever been dubbed in my entire life was given by this gentleman, the father of first innings. And, of course, we'll get to a little bit of what I think today on the Nerfy board a little bit later in this hour. But we start where I think everyone's mind is in late July, early August, and that's on the NFL. And I think this is a good time. I didn't really have a whole lot of, hot takes on the news of the day. We will get to a couple of the hot button topics in the NFL a little bit later in the show. But I think where we start today is kind of mindset rise, right? Right. Like we started the show based off of where our brains are. Dustin coming off of his vacation, me coming off of what was a very successful weekend back from the All-Star break. But that's when baseball starts to decelerate. And everything else starts to accelerate. Usually it's the All-Star break. We take a breather. It was nice to not have to handicap and track Nerfies for about 4 days. It was nice to take that breather. What it did is it allowed me to start recalibrating. Because right now, baseball's all we've got. But just like the hourglass of time slipping away, baseball season is quickly evaporating, and we are getting closer and closer to the NFL. I think it's 45-ish days until opening night. We are 5 weeks away from the college football starting. We're about 2 weeks away from the Hall of Fame game. So before you know it, a fortnight, we will be actually having NFL games on our TV that we can watch. I know it's preseason, but it matters because it's the first time we've watched it in months. And again, you reach this point, a lot of us are, especially if you're watching this show, you're a fan of all sports. You're watching the calendar year-round. This is around the time when we start to rotate. I made my first NFL futures bets this week. I will reveal some of them on this show. I've already revealed them on prior shows over the weekend. But it feels like right around this time, All-Star break, maybe you want to use the British Open as another kind of a bookmark. Football, to me, starts to really seep into front of mind, not back of mind anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, and if you're going to bet in the futures market, it's kind of the time to do it because yes. If you wait too long and those things move a couple points here and there, some of these numbers, you're going from a 12-1 to a 9-1 is a big jump, and that's what you're going to see in a lot of the awards markets and the championship, the division odds. There will be a jump where you go, you know what, I don't want to get in now. Now you missed your opportunity of a team that you did the legwork on that you were in on. So I completely agree with you. My focus from looking at MLB futures, which I tend to do a lot of.
You were sending me texts last week for some MLB futures. You're still engaged.
Yeah, I'm looking for opportunities. There's not many
out there. There's not many right now. I think baseball, really, once you get to the All-Star break, it's unless you're kind of coming back on a position that you've already opened and you're trying to maybe find some hedging value on the other side. It's tough with baseball. The All-Star break, you don't realize it. Well, you should. It's more than half the season. It's like almost 100 games out of the 162. So there's just not as much runway left in the baseball futures market.
Yeah, so look, there's very few numbers that jump out to you right now. I texted you about Colt Keith and the Tigers.
You still like Colt?
Well, no, because the day I texted you, he had another big game. He went from 40-1 to 20-1.
Yeah.
I'd still consider, but he has a lot of ground to make up in the average department if he's going to win the award. And his stats across the board will be very solid, but they won't be sexy. So I don't know if I want to dive into that AL Rookie of the Year market. And that's the thing. You have a heavy favorite in Ohtani. You have a heavy favorite in Judge in both MVP races. The Cy Young races are kind of dicey right now. Somehow Chris Sale is your favorite. I say instead of trying to poke holes in what's going on there, where there's a lot up in the air and a lot could go wrong, shift over to football. Let's start looking at the players, the teams, the awards and markets you want to focus on.
And again, I will give out, I'll tweet them out. I've tweeted out a few already. I'll give them out all on the show. I'm not trying to, save any numbers from any markets from being blown up. In fact, a couple of them I got from other prominent handicappers who have already gotten some movement in their direction. And I'm just trying to, capture their coattails here as we move closer to the NFL season. I will tell you this. My guess is the second these start to circulate, and you're right, once we get to preseason, I would be willing to bet every single bet that I am going to give you throughout the course of the next 3 days filling in for Patrick in the NFL futures market, I'd be willing to bet that the next time I come and do the show, which is probably about a month or so down the road, whenever Patrick or you need another break, we've seen significant movement before the season starts. I think week one, week two, that's when a lot of the look-ahead numbers, and you'll start to see that stuff really crystallize. But the futures market, this is the time. I think, be okay with being uncomfortable and not seeing something, right? We're such a visceral betting society now. It's all, I need to see it happen first before I'm betting it. Well, with these markets, you have to have a little bit of a faith element to it. You have to trust your handicap on a team, and you have to understand the way that the markets work and hope that, you know, you're on the right side of injury variance. The things that you can't control that worry you, injuries and bad luck, bad bounces of the ball, at this stage, because you're betting such a big number, it's not as important. Yeah, injuries could help you, too. That's the thing, too. You could go be on both sides of the injury variance luck.
And I think it's important with futures. It's very much like the Marvel Universe. Bear with me here. Like there's the multiverse, right? There's all these different worlds that coexist, and they sometimes come together, and sometimes they're isolated on their own individual movies. The Avengers, like, they come together for that. Then in Loki, he's got all these different timelines he can bounce between where certain things happen in one and certain things don't happen. It's kind of a butterfly effect. You look at a football futures betting board, you're trying to find the multiverse and the route and the world that exists where your bet feels like it can happen, where it is a tangible bet, where it's an outcome that makes sense, and you believe the number doesn't reflect the likelihood of that happening. And with that said, I am very high on a team this year where I am considering, Jared, going all in on them. I'm talking Super Bowl. I'm talking NFC, MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, potentially Coach of the Year. And I've never done that before. I've never thought about it. And I'm a little nervous because the team is trendy. I'll run that by you later.
My favorite text that I get throughout the course of my time, either working or not working, is when he sends me like a 40-to-1, a guy that I've never heard of in some random market. And I'm like, yeah, let's unpack that on the other side here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN NFL betting guide out now, and our new college football guide drops on August 1st. That's in just a little over a week. College football is right around the corner, guys. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for college in the NFL. Our experts provide profiles on every team with advanced stats, trends, and power ratings, plus best bets on futures, season win total. Sign up before the end of July. Receive both guides, full VSiN Pro access, and our daily pro picks, 24/7 video exclusive data like the splits. Everyone loves the splits. Football special discount price expires July 31st. Don't wait. VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. It is Sharp Money. We are back here at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Jared Smith in for Patrick Maher today. Dustin Sweetelson with us as well. And Dustin, I think we just teased it in our last block, the NFL front and center. I've made a bevy. Actually, one of them I made multiple times by accident. So we're going to hope that one cashes.
Been there.
Yeah, we're going to hope that one cashes. Little fat fingers on one of my apps this morning. I tried to get it worked out. It might not get worked out. And if that's not the case, we are just going to root really hard for it. I'll give you that one in a minute. But what's on your futures radar? Is there a market you really got invested in early here?
Well, so I wrote about it, VSiN.com, over on the betting guide. Go download it now. This was my favorite bet, and I'm obsessed with it. And I feel like you might like this guy. You guys went to the same college.
Okay. I like where you're starting here.
I think Saquon Barkley, Offensive Player of the Year, is a very live situation. I think it's very similar to what Christian McCaffrey went through. When you look at Saquon Barkley, availability's been an issue, right? Staying healthy. Well, a lot of times players will sit out games they probably could play in because they do not have the security of a long-term contract. Barkley got paid by the Eagles in the offseason. And when you look at what the Eagles did in the entire offseason, they're bringing Kellen Moore to fix this offense. And with that, he is now assembled, adding Barkley to Hurts and Smith and Goddard and A.J. Brown. This is potentially the most talented offense we've ever seen. Try to run this RPO-style offense. And what does Kellen Moore want to do? He wants to get back to using his running backs. Think about what he did with Ezekiel Elliott when that guy was still a legitimate running back in the NFL. That is my favorite play so far, 16-1 on Saquon Barkley to be Offensive Player of the Year, because we have never seen a running back with a quarterback like this. His ability to catch the ball, take short passes downfield, make guys miss, line up as a receiver, be a weapon in the slot for Hurts. I think we're going to see a huge season in the air, on the ground, from Saquon Barkley as they try to scheme this offense around what Jalen Hurts can and can't do.
Yeah, I like the Eagles a lot this year. I think, first of all, Kellen Moore is just light years ahead of what they had last year at offensive coordinator. Of course, when Steichen and Gannon left town last year, it was obvious that the brains of the operation were gone. And it was just not a good situation for Philly's offense, for Philly's defense. I think both units take a step forward this year. I love the Saquon move. I love Kellen Moore as an OC. I love Jalen Hurts, a quarterback, and it leads perfectly into a bet that I really like, which is Hurts to win MVP.
I'm with that as well.
Yeah, and I think the MVP market, so the last 7 years, seven consecutive years, the MVP has been the team. The MVP has come the quarterback of a team that's finished with the number one seed in their respective conference. Not necessarily the best record. We've had a few teams that were the second best record, but still the number one seed in their conference, meaning the best record came from the other conference. And again, let's just go through the MVPs for the last few years, and we'll go right through it. Lamar Jackson, last year, Ravens were the number one seed. They had the best record in the NFL. 22, Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs, number one seed. They were tied for the best record that year with the Eagles. Aaron Rodgers, back-to-back, 21 and 20. Packers had the number one seed. Both years, Lamar Jackson in 2019, Ravens were by far the best team in the NFL that year, number one seed. Mahomes in 18, Chiefs, number one seed. 2017, Tom Brady, Patriots, number one seed. So just boil it down. Process of elimination. Who's going to be the number one seed in the respective conference? Okay, let's go to the AFC first. A little bit harder, I think, to pick who the AFC number one seed is going to be. It's obviously the tougher conference. It's the conference that I think you have more competition, which means even if you do win the number one seed in that conference, it might not be the runaway freight train type of year that a team in the NFC can have, which is obviously the easier of the two conferences. I think the Lions make a ton of sense. I've already bet Jared Goff in this market, 30-1, but I think the Eagles have a better chance to be the number one seed in their conference this year just because I think I'm a little down on San Francisco. I don't know how you feel about that.
I'm not totally down because the only time I really doubt San Francisco is when it matters in the playoffs. I think the regular season is going to be a breeze.
I'm worried
for them
about their offensive line.
That's fair, but Shanahan's really good at scheming things up where you don't notice how they've invested very little outside of Trent Williams on the offensive line.
It's really a bag of donuts outside of Trent Williams out there.
The Eagles are my team. That's the team that I want to go all in on.
I agree.
15-1 on the Super Bowl, 15-1 most wins right now.
But
over
see, wouldn't
draft
you
teams.
Rather just have Hurts? You get a little extra bang for your buck, 16-1. If they have the most wins, how is he not winning MVP?
I want all of it, baby. I want it all. That's why I want to look. I think that you mentioned the Kellen Moore addition, Vic Fangio to step up the defense.
Vic Fangio's huge too. He fits that culture very well.
Before we get to the actual personnel, I think the biggest need the Philadelphia Eagles had this offseason was a lack of maturity. They were a very immature team. Nick Sirianni has proven to be at times an immature head coach. There is a vivid memory I have, end of the Super Bowl, losing to the Chiefs. He's giving the Chiefs the finger while they're celebrating as Jalen Hurts, his young quarterback, has to pull him away to kind of move on with their lives. So there's a bit of immaturity there. There are elements of Sirianni, though, that I do think work in the NFL, where I do think he's a leader who could come into his own. It's just at times he's his own worst enemy. Well, they address his immaturity issue by bringing in Kellen Moore, all business. Vic Fangio, all business. There's no messing around now. Now Sirianni's just the leader of this organization. He's kind of the CEO, not getting overly involved, and those guys can make these players work. That's one need they addressed. The second need was Barkley and the RPO and adding to that. I think that's massive. The third issue that they added was that this secondary was getting crushed. James Bradbury was getting thrown all over last year. They bring back C.J. Gardner-Johnson in the secondary. They go and draft two DBs, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, immediately improve. They get younger on defense. I think that the Philadelphia Eagles are better than they were a year ago and possibly better than they were when they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think Chiefs-Eagles, like, again, this is like the early stages of maybe me reading two or three previews and doing the most basic level of introductory research to all of the top teams in the league. I think the Eagles is where I'm at right now. I think Eagles, Lions, Niners, I think they're a lot tighter in that NFC at the top than maybe the odds indicate. Again, right now the odds are telling you that there's the NFC leader, the Niners, and then there's a gap between those other two teams. And I don't think there's as big of a gap between the Lions and the Eagles than the Niners as people think. That's what I think there's going to be a big hot take as we get closer to the
year. So that's why over at DraftKings, the NFC, you've got San Fran plus 250. The jump then, as you're mentioning, is the Lions to 550 and the Eagles at 7-1. Here's why that jump doesn't make sense to me. Because it will then, if the Niners are the class of this conference, then it's going to come down to a one-on-one matchup, either the Lions, the Eagles, whoever else it is, in the NFC Championship game. And that's when there's a bit of a pucker factor from Kyle Shanahan. That's when he kind of loses what he's done. Time and time again, his teams have been more talented. They've been better, just player for player. But in a vacuum, in one single game, despite being, quote-unquote, one of the best tacticians we've seen in our lifetime offensively, somehow things unravel for him in that vacuum of a one game to go to the Super Bowl. And that's where I think the Lions and Eagles, that jump in the number doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, here, when I look at the Niners as a team this year, I don't think they're, like, to me, they're the same team that's gone over the, like, they're just a year older. Like, I don't see growth. I don't see improvement.
Well, it's hard to get better when you're that good.
That's true. But what was their record during the regular season last year?
No,
was,
they were awesome. What, they have 12 wins?
I think they just got over 14? The 11 and a half. Did they win? Yeah, they won 14. No, but that was after their playoff wins. I mean, the regular season record. I think they won 12 during the regular season, which means they just got over the 11 and a half, which is basically where they're priced this year. I think they're right there. I think they're right there. I don't think there's any value to the over with San Francisco. They went 12-5 last year. Again, their win total is 11 and a half this year. They're not better on the offensive line. Their receiving group is disgruntled. Their defense, it's fair to say, is improved, but I don't really have any significant data or evidence to back that up. Their defense went through a significant change last year. Of course, the DC was a big problem. They remember moved them up to the booth. They moved them down. Isn't it Staley now in like an advisory role?
Yeah.
And it's like he's kind of advising the defensive coordinator. It's a weird defensive structure this year for San Francisco. I don't know if they're better or not. They might be better, but there's, again, some transition there. I feel like they're not better than a 12-win team. Then that's what they were last year. And I could see them getting a little bit worse on the O-line and winning 11.
Here's where I'll side with you on this. Everything on that offense is so reliant on Christian McCaffrey being able to be the focal point through the air to take some pressure off of Purdy as well, and obviously his running ability. He played in 16 games last year, played in 17 the year before. Prior to that, he had 2 years where he was not available, where he's not healthy. If he's not healthy and it's all on Brock Purdy's shoulders, they do not get to where they need to be.
There's a problem viewing in San Francisco. They are priced like filet mignon, and I don't know if it's expired yet. It might. We'll see. We'll continue to talk about the NFL futures market on the other side. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, go to VSiN.com. Check it out. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, just like Steve Mackinnon's top power plays based off his ratings, plus some trends, best bets. I see Adam Burke's got an article up there. Lots of baseball stuff on the site today. It is only available at VSiN.com. We are back, Sharp Money, here on a Monday. Jared Smith in for Patrick Maher, hanging out with Dustin Sweetelson live at the D in downtown Las Vegas. More NFL on the horizon here. We were talking Jalen Hurts. We were talking Eagles, Saquon Barkley. I love that look. I'll probably get a piece of Saquon to win Offensive Player of the Year. But it kind of brings us back to the discussion when we're looking at the MVP. There's actually two awards. MVP coach, actually three. The Rookie of the Year awards you can kind of put in this category too. MVP coach of the year. To me, those two markets are the most bettable, the most actionable, because there is a specific roadmap that you can follow. Again, in the MVP market, which team is going to have the best record in their conference? A little bit tougher to predict that on the AFC side. You can make a really strong case for the Bills. You can make a strong case for the Bengals. You can make a case for the Chiefs, Jets. A bunch of teams in that mix, I think, can compete for the best team in the AFC. In the NFC, I really think it's three. It's probably 2.5. And the only reason why it's a half is because I will put Detroit, I'll give them the respect of what they did last year, because right now they are not being priced like one of the best teams in the NFC, even though I think they should be. Right now they're kind of in that number three spot. Philly and Detroit kind of trading back and forth, but I've seen a lot of shops really favor Philly over the Lions. But you look at the first part of the Lions' schedule,
that's
Dustin.
The key.
That is why I'm willing to invest in them pre-flop. Detroit opens against the Rams on Sunday night at home. They're a favorite in that game. Of course, the Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford story will be front and center. They beat the Rams last year in this spot in a primetime game in the playoffs. I think they can beat them again. If they can get past that game, you're almost a touchdown favorite at home to the Bucs. You're over a field goal favorite on the road to Arizona. You're almost a touchdown favorite at home on Monday night to Seattle, and then you get a bye. Then you go to Dallas after the bye. Let's just live in a world for a minute that we are now in week six of the season, and the Lions are 4-0 heading into a obviously important game at Jerry's World against the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not saying Jared Goff is going to be the favorite to win MVP at that stage in week six, but I would not be surprised if he is significantly higher. He is like the 15th quarterback on the board right now to win MVP. And if the Lions are undefeated heading into that game against the Cowboys, I think he is going to be significantly shorter, if not the favorite, or one of the favorites.
Well, what has been the big knock on Jared Goff most of his career? It's that he can't win outdoors. Right?
He doesn't have to this year.
14 of their first 15 games are indoors this season for Jared Goff. And what does Jared Goff have for the first time in a while? Some continuity. He's got a lot of guys back with a lot of production on that offense. But most importantly, he has his offensive coordinator back. So Ben Johnson returns to call the plays and dial things up. He obviously knows what Goff can and can't do. Puts him in great situations. He has a true number one in Amon-Ra St. Brown. That offensive line is great. He has a run game to keep defenses honest against him. I do think there is a realistic path for Jared Goff to be in the mix for this award, likely to win it if the Lions end up dethroning San Francisco. And we saw in the playoffs, they were very close going toe-to-toe with San Francisco when it mattered. I think this Lions team, with the way things shook out with the schedule, with getting Ben Johnson back, it is an all-in mentality on this year. Jared Goff leads the charge. I agree with you on this bet.
Do you recall last year, Lamar Jackson on the road, prime time, in San Francisco against Brock Purdy? I believe it was week 17.
Christmas.
Week 17 this season, the Detroit Lions on the road, Monday night, against the San Francisco 49ers. That's the game. You want to talk about projecting things forward? Obviously, we have a lot of obstacles to overcome before then. But when you look at a schedule and you say, I think they're going to be 4-0 into the bye, which means they're going into that week off with all of the momentum, the national headlines, everything that an MVP needs. Just like Lamar Jackson had that opportunity at the end of the season, Jared Goff will have that opportunity at the end of the season to put the stamp on the game. So if you're sitting there 30-1, Jared Goff, back pocket, he is one of the favorites heading into that game, week 17 at San Francisco. Just bet San Francisco if you want. Again, you're going to have options. The number does not make sense considering how good the Lions are expected to be this year and the historical precedent set on the players that typically win this award.
Look, you look at the betting board for the MVP over at DraftKings, and I am all about, I am the guy who's always going to emphasize, I like to take some shots here. Tequila shots, long shots, back shots, my top three.
Almost made me spit
reverse
up my
order.
Coffee right there.
That's the thing about this market. Mahomes at 475 at the top of it. You can't bet it,
Don't
Jared.
Bet that.
You can't. First of all, they do not care about sexy value points in the regular season. Their only goal is championships. They did it a year ago. I know that offense has more weapons. You absolutely cannot bet 475 on Mahomes to win MVP. CJ Stroud at plus 850. I get it. I'm with you. He was sensational. But it's a. We'll talk to Landry Locker about it in 25 minutes. It's a little bit different to go from the hunter to the hunted. And I think the Texans, everyone's darling this offseason. I have some questions about them answering the call there. Josh Allen lost a million weapons at 9-1. That's three big marks on your top three betting favorites. Joe Burrow's coming off an injury. He's got to prove he can stay healthy. Now we're at Jordan Love. Jordan Love's not going to practice till he gets a new contract. That's coming out today from Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers. So right there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the market, we have marks against. All I'm saying, it's worth taking some shots here when there's some questions about the guys at the top of the board.
No doubt about it. Again, we're at the stage. We are not picking the winner. I am not standing here today telling you that Jared Goff is going to win the MVP. I hope he does, because I bet it.
Can we discuss this from this mindset? The mindset isn't I found the winner at 22-1. It's that finding the mispriced number at 22-1 gives us the availability to capitalize on the market on that bet. When 22-1 drops to 11-1 after 2 or 3 weeks, then it becomes 5-1, or it becomes the top one or two favorites. Now you can get creative to earn the money back or get some good ROI as this market fluctuates throughout the season. You look ahead to opportunities where the schedule lines up, where someone might get longer, someone might get shorter. And because you hit a long shot at 22-1, that's now in the mix, you can do all of that.
And to be fair, 22-1 is a price that is on the shorter end of the stick. I bet 30-1 3 days ago.
No, I saw Mike Somich had 40-1
a
couple months ago.
Obviously always shop around. We're showing you the DraftKings numbers. I did not bet this at DraftKings. I did not bet this at DraftKings. I bet it across the street at MGM. 30-1 a few days ago. I think it's still available. The Jalen Hurts thing, I bet 16-1. It's showing 15-1. Again, shop around. I'm not saying that is going to be the difference between a win and a loss. We are not picking winners. That's not the goal in July. You can't pick a winner in July for something in February. It's impossible. But what I can do is tell you what we believe is mispriced based off of, again, historical precedent of who wins this award and the way the rest of the market is priced. The rest of the market is telling you the Lions. I saw a book give you the Lions as the favorite to be the last undefeated team. The favorite. If the Lions are the last undefeated team, Jared Goff is going to likely be amongst the favorites to win MVP at that point in time that they are the last undefeated team. And that is the only thing we can tell you now. Based off of the way the schedule is shaping out for Detroit, there are opportunities late in the season to stamp it home in prime time against those said Niners. And there's also a very soft runway for Jared Goff and, frankly, Jalen Hurts. I mean, you go look at the beginning of Philly's schedule, and I could absolutely see Jalen Hurts, who, that's a tough game against Green Bay in Brazil. You never know what's going to happen in Brazil. But then they get Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa Bay before their bye. I mean, the NFC South, they're ripe for the picking this year, perhaps the worst conference or the worst division, excuse me, in the NFL. So I could, and then they go on a week 5 bye. So you could have Hurts and Goff, 4-0, both heading into their bye. I think both of those guys likely the favorites in those markets, amongst the favorites for MVP, if that does take place.
Interesting, the team known for the tush push is going to play where they invented the Brazilian butt lift.
I don't even know how.
BBL.
Brazilian butt lift. I don't even know what a Brazilian butt lift is.
Oh, you'd know it if you saw it, buddy. I'll show you some pictures. All right, we agree on Goff.
We agree on Hurts. We agree on Hurts.
I wrote down three other MVP numbers. Curious if we agree on them. Three names.
I'm guessing they're long shots.
16, 30, and 35-1.
I'm willing to bet the longer numbers I like more. And as they get shorter, I like them less and less. I think I know who you're thinking in the 16-1. I think these conversations, I'm glad that I get to have them with Dustin this week. You should be having them in your group chats. This is the type of stuff that gets you ready for the season. You're not trying to say who's going to win the Super Bowl. It is really hard to do. I think you're much better off having conversations which teams mispriced to win the Super Bowl. We'll continue those mispriced conversations. Dustin tries to sell me on some more MVP bets on the other side. This is Sharp Money live on VSiN.
This This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, check it out. July ending with a bang. UFC 304 is not just one, but two titles on the line. Get your own crown. Jump in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. Download the DK Sportsbook app now. Use the code VSIN. That's code VSIN for new customers. Get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Back on Sharp Money Monday afternoon here in downtown Las Vegas at the D. Jared Smith, Dustin Sweetelson hanging with you until 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 Eastern. That's when we'll kick it over to the boys over at VSiN Primetime back at Circa with Tim Murray and Jonathan Montoba. But until then, lots more NFL to get to, Dustin. I am waiting with bated breath for your three MVP. One of them, I guess both of them. The 230 to ones, those are technically long shots. I think 10 to 1 is kind of in that middle tier, 15 to 1. Once you get past 20, 25 to 1, that's when you're in the long shot territory, I think.
Yeah, and look, there's a reason that they are at that number,
exactly.
Right? They've got warts. It's like me on the dating apps. I'm looking for someone with a crooked nose or a lazy eye or a mole in a weird place, but otherwise, you know, optically appealing.
You don't have any of those things.
No, but I want this person's got to I can't have a classic beauty, let's be honest.
I think you're selling yourself short. You have the personality and the face and the overall depth of a wizard.
The women I've dated would argue with you about the personality part of it.
What? You're so funny.
I agree on all the other stuff. It's the personality that's gotten me in trouble. But my point is there's a reason that these bets are longer shots. So you have to find a way, an avenue where they can become realistic. So the first one, 16 to 1. I think this is the one you were going to guess. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. But why? Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Look, we don't know. There's a lot we don't know. And honestly, there's probably too much we do know about Aaron Rodgers, but not enough of on the football field of where he's at. However, he goes into a Jet situation with an elite defense, with weapons. Garrett Wilson has performed with Zach Wilson at his quarterback. He has performed with Tim Boyle as his quarterback.
Yes, he has.
You mean to tell me that Garrett Wilson can't be Devontae Adams in his prime with Aaron Rodgers? They have plenty of weapons on offense. They bring in Mike Williams. This is an organization that is committed to being relevant for at least two more years. So they've gone out, they've revamped this offensive line to make sure that Aaron Rodgers lasts a few more plays than he did a year ago. If this team can reach its potential, which, again, there's always a risk involved as to whether they can be that, but that's why they're 20-1 to win the Super Bowl. That's why he's 16-1 for MVP. I think, realistically, Aaron Rodgers should be about 8-1 for MVP. That's why I'll take the shot at 16.
So here's the market that I really like, and Will Hill gave me the he was my muse for this. He was the one that really said it, and I was like, wow, this makes so much sense. So if you like that bet, it makes sense to really concentrate your action around that week one game with San Francisco. Because if he gets off to a really bad start with the Niners, you're going to get a better price on Aaron Rodgers the following week. So the way to, I think, capitalize on what is a market-moving game week one is to bet the Jets to be the last undefeated team, which is right around the same price. I saw 16-1. At one of the big box shops, I think Caesars, and I think DraftKings hanging 15-1 in that market. Because if they get past the Niners, it's Titans, Patriots, Broncos, yep. Vikings. Like 5-0 is very much in the crosshairs there. And yeah, like I think his number will obviously decrease significantly if the MVP, if they win week one, that MVP number will go down significantly. But like, I want to get paid early on what is, I think, their toughest game of the year, week one. Like, I want to make sure if they win that game week one, I want to get paid in some capacity. And I feel like the best chance to do so at the biggest payout, obviously you could just bet them money line week one, but 15-1, 16-1 for them to be the last undefeated team based on what they have after that made sense to me.
No, I get that. And that's the big spot, right? That number one.
Yes.
After that, it is cruising. And honestly, the Bills on Monday Night Football, really curious
game.
What they're going to be. But you get them at home in New Jersey. And Buffalo lost. Everyone's making a big deal about what they lost with Stephon Diggs. This team lost Mitch Morse at center. He was the heartbeat of that offensive line during this run where they've been a really good team in the AFC. They also lost a lot of key members of that secondary.
Their entire starting secondary.
And Hyde. Poyer and Hyde on the back end. Those two safeties allowed everyone else in front of them to be a lot more aggressive. I don't think enough is being made at how much they lost Buffalo outside of just Stephon Diggs.
And I don't trust Miami. I think Miami is the ultimate shooting star team.
So
is that one of your other MVPs?
No, that is not. Although I am a Tua guy.
Well, it's not that I don't love Tua. It's that there's a lot of tumult there coming from a nice Jewish family. I'm sure you've heard that name before, or heard that word before. There's a lot of tumult. My mom used to always say, there's a lot of tumult. There's a lot of upheaval, right? You go from the defensive coordinator switch. They hated Fangio. Now you go to Weaver. Obviously, the offensive coordinator spot, it's basically Mike McDaniel. But I think there's a lot of upheaval there, especially on the offensive line. We don't know what we're getting from some of their best offensive linemen. That is key for Tua to remain upright. I just feel a little bit more balkish on Miami than I think most. I think their ceiling's slightly lower and their floor is a little lower. Whereas the Jets, this sounds crazy. Maybe it's call me a homer, but man, I think the Jets are the best team in this division.
I think the Jets, if let's say it's a video game. Everyone's talking about college football coming out. And I'm getting crushed in it, by the way.
I can't, how do you have people have time to play this game?
I played like two games.
And I don't have a console anymore.
I don't understand how I'm ever going to get good at it. I don't have the time to get better, but I do enjoy it. Here's my point. Think of each team like a video game right now. Injuries are turned off. Each team plays to their absolute optimal highest level. The Jets are so
Aaron
much
Rodgers
better.
Aaron Rodgers is better than at peak vacuum with everyone healthy, and then you throw in the defenses as well.
Well, the defense
is the Jets
key.
Have the better roster.
So the defense is the key for me because I think Christian Wilkins was the, like, I want to say the equator, right? He was like, he kept everything in balance for this team. Whether you were north or south of him, he made sure that the earth stayed on its axis. I think that's what the equator does. I don't really know.
It's close. You're ticking up the poles.
Oh, that's it. That's the one. So if it's not the axis, what's the other one? Either way,
hemisphere.
You get what I'm saying here. Here's the deal.
Geography with Professor Sweetelson has been canceled.
So they lost Christian Wilkins, and you can't understate what he meant to the defense. That's my point.
It's true.
And the name of the game is getting after quarterbacks in today's NFL. If you don't have an elite pass rush, you're done because your secondary can't cover that
long. I like their secondary with Ramsey and Fuller.
But a secondary can only cover as long as the pass rush can get to the quarterback. And here's the problem. Your two best pass rushers are coming off injuries.
Yep.
Bradley Chubb is coming off an injury.
He's not going to play the whole year, half the year.
Yeah. Jalen Phillips is off the PUP list.
Yep.
You're looking at guys like Ngakoue they're bringing in for a workout. Shaq Barrett retired over the weekend.
I didn't know that.
That is a massive loss for them.
Oh,
Shaq Barrett coming over
Miami's
from Tampa.
Downgrade defense a little more now.
They signed Calais Campbell. He is so old. He's older than me. So, look.
How old are you for context, by
I'm
the way?
I'm 39 years old. Actually, he might be younger.
He's no way he's older than you.
How old is Calais?
He's probably like 35.
Calais Campbell.
I would bet 35.
He's 37. He'll be 38 in 2 months.
So I'm 38 for context.
No. So here's the deal. My whole point was, if everything goes right for both teams, goes to absolute perfect, the Jets are better.
Yes.
Which defense is better? The Jets' defense is better. And while I love Miami's offense, I'll take the risk that Aaron Rodgers goes back to being a semblance of his former self.
Aaron, listen, it's not going to be hard for Rodgers to raise the bar from last year. And I think that's why a lot of people are down on the Jets. Because it goes back to what I said in the first hour of the show. We are a visceral sports betting nation. We want to see it. Well, we haven't seen it.
But let me also add to this. The MVP is a award voted on by the sports writers who cover the team.
And they hate Aaron Rodgers.
Will they give Aaron Rodgers the award?
No, that's why I like the last you're removing the politics from it if you bet them to be the last undefeated team or to be the number one seed in the AFC. The numbers are similar, and there's no politics involved. It's straight numbers.
All right. Straight numbers. I'll give you the two long shots.
Give me the two long shots.
The next one's Matthew Stafford at 30-1.
He's not going to. No way he plays the whole year. But if he does, he's live.
My man can still sling it, though.
If he does, he's live.
And he's got a healthy Cooper Kupp back.
If he plays the whole year, he's live.
Nakua's a beast.
If he plays the whole year, he's live. He played 17 games last year. The odds of that happening two straight years at this stage of his career are low. But if he plays, he's live.
Threw for almost 4,000 yards, 24 touchdowns.
If he plays 17 games, he's live.
All right, the next one. And I want to hate on everything about it. I want to be the one that goes against this because it's so trendy. Kirk Cousins at 35-1 in a bad NFC South with all the weapons he has.
I can't do it.
Indoors.
If they finish as the number one seed, yes. But what are the Falcons to be the one seed?
Oof. Big old number, I bet.
I'm assuming it's around the same price. Actually, no, it's probably less. Although the Niners, the Eagles, and Lions are eating up a lot of equity in that market. I wouldn't be shocked if it's 30 or 40-1.
Falcons NFC one seed or overall one seed?
NFC one seed.
750.
Oh, yeah. No, you bet Cousins instead. Because, again, see, this goes back, and when I talk coach of the year, I'll use the same odds discrepancies. There are certain teams out there that are 8, 9, 10 to 1 to win their division, but the coach of the year is 20, 25 to 1. If that, those division odds win, the coach is going to win coach of the year, and I'll tell you why later in the show, why last year with Stefanski and the Brown situation was just the most bizarre thing ever. You're not going to see that again. We're going to go back to normal coach of the year tendencies. All right, coming up on the other side, Landry Locker. We'll talk a little Texans top of the hour, Sharp Money.